But Ephesians 3:17 and 18, we use this all week. Said, may your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. And that's our prayer. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should. All God's people should understand this. How wide, how long, how high, how deep the love of God really is. If you belong to Jesus and you do not yet know how powerful God's love is, you need to grow in your faith. You need to grow in your faith. Come to realize the love of God is bigger than the assemblies of God. The love of God is bigger than Oak Grove Assembly. And I think sometimes we've been so churched. Do you understand what I mean when I say that? Was so long saved that we become institutionalized. And there is such a thing as an ingrown church. And it's weeks like we've had that you invested in, that you gave, that you prayed, that you went, that you got involved in, that help us get outside. We enter to worship, we depart to serve. I mean, when you walk out those doors, you enter the mission field, and that's our goal. And so that's what we wanted to do, is to share the love of God, and also our kids talked about, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Because Joshua said, choose you for yourselves this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And then I preached about something I never preached before. I'll preach it this morning. Because of the situation, I didn't have time to prepare something else. But this is burning in my heart. And how many like to hear the word of the Lord? It's about an obscure person in the scriptures named Jonadab, and found in Jeremiah 35. And it's a lot, so just look at it with me. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. And he said, go to the house of the Rechabites, speak to them and bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink. Don't freak out. This is God's word spoken to Jeremiah the prophet, and God is going to do a little test for the people of God. All right? So he knows the outcome already, but he's setting it up as a contrast. You'll see it just in a minute. Then I took, and don't worry about these names. I can't say them no more than you can. But let's give it a shot. I took Jazz. Let's just call him Jazz. Jazaniah. And the son of Jeremiah. And the son of Habazaniah. And his brothers and all his sons. And the whole house of the Rechabites. And I brought them to the house of the Lord. Into the chamber of the sons of Hanan. The son of Iggy. And the man of God. There's a man of God in the house, which was by the chamber of the princes, above the chamber of Messiah, the son of Shalem, the keeper of the door. Then I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites bowls full of wine and cups. And I said to them, drink wine. That was a lot to get through right there, okay? Next slide. But they said, we will not drink wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, you shall drink no wine, you nor your sons, forever. No wine. You shall not build a house, you shall not sow seed, plant a vineyard, nor have any of these, but all your days you shall dwell in tents, a nomadic people, that you may live many days in the land where you are sojourners. Thus we have obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he charged us, to drink no wine all our days. We, our wives, our sons, our daughters, our dogs, our cats, nobody. That's what he said. I added the dogs and cats. Nobody. We're not going to build any houses to dwell in. We're not going to have a vineyard. We're not going to have a field or seed. But we have dwelt in tents and have obeyed and done according to all that Jonadab, our father, commanded us. But it came to pass when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up into the land, that we said, come, let us go to Jerusalem for fear of the army of the Chaldeans and for fear of the army of the Syrians. So we dwell at Jerusalem. Is there anything else? Then came the word of the Lord to Jeremiah, saying, thus says the Lord. This is verse 12, 13. Thus says the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts. The God of Israel, go and tell the men of Judah. This is the contrast. Go and tell the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will you not receive instruction to obey my words, says the Lord? The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, which he commanded his sons not to drink, are performed. For to this day they drink nothing, no wine, and obey their father's commandment. But although I have spoken to you, rising early and speaking, you did not obey me. I have also sent to you all my servants, the prophets. Okay, so I told you, you didn't listen. The prophets told you, rising up early and sending them and saying, turn now everyone from your evil way, among your amend your doings, repent, is what he's saying, and do not go after other gods to serve them. Then you will dwell in the land which I have given you and your fathers, but you have not inclined your ear nor obeyed me. Surely the sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, have performed the commandment of their father, which he commanded them, but this people has not obeyed me. Do you see the contrast there? God's using this word is God saying, hey, Jonadab, this obscure, mentioned barely in the scriptures as a father telling his children, and they obeyed for 200 years, they obeyed. Come on, this is Legacy Sunday. And God uses this as a contrast to Judah, the people of God. God said, I told you, I sent the prophets to tell you, but you did not incline your ear to hear me or obey my word. It's a very powerful object lesson and also a powerful lesson of obedience and contrast. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring on Judah and on all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the doom that I have pronounced against them, because I have spoken to them, but they have not heard. I have called to them, but they have not answered. That's the consequences of disobedience. Are y'all with me today? And Jeremiah said to the house of the Rechabites, here it is. Thus said the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because you have obeyed the commandments of Jonadab, your father, and kept all his precepts and done according to all that he commanded you. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab, the son of Rechab, look at this, shall not lack a man to stand before me forever. Would somebody give God praise for the word of the Lord this morning? What a promise. What a promise. Jonadab, you might have remembered him. Remember a couple of weeks ago I was talking about Elijah in the cave, and he was standing there in the cave, and God came by with fire and the earthquake and the wind and everything like that. But God whispered to him in the cave. He was in a dark cave. God called him out to see the power of God. And then God not only called him out of the cave, he called him and commissioned him. You don't belong in a cave, Elijah. You belong out there. Go and anoint Jehu to be the king of Israel. Remember that? Well, Jonadab, he linked up with Jehu, and Jehu and Jonadab got together. You can see it in 2 Kings chapter 10. And they destroyed the prophets of Baal. They destroyed the altars of Baal. They destroyed Baal worship. I mean, we need some people to stand up in this day, be strong and courageous, and tear down the altars of Baal. Hey, we don't depend on Baal. Our confidence is not in Baal. Our faith is in God, the one true God, Yahweh, Jehovah. Amen? And so that's what's happening here. And so the first generation, I don't know about you, I'm a first-generation believer, and statistics tell us that our children will likely not fall in love with truth these days. But I've always hated math, so I've chosen to reject the data, because God's word says that God can raise up a generation of people. I know Joshua. Remember we came into the promised land, and Joshua, he said that the word of God fell on a generation that didn't hear and didn't obey, and said that there raised up a generation. There arose a generation that did not know God nor the things of God. Remember that? And that's tragic. And Melissa and I are here to tell you, at Oak Grove, we're here to say and reiterate it every fifth Sunday, every Sunday, that this generation needs to know the power of our God. We're not here babysitting them. They're not in the nursery just giving care. Thank God for the care. But we are talking to them Bible stories as soon as they can walk. We're telling them who God is, telling them that God created everything, amen? Telling them that God loves everybody, you know? And so you got to know that this is more than just a babysitting job. We don't bring our do all this in the renovation so that we can just babysit kids while you come to church. They're learning the Word of God. I'm excited about fine arts. They're gonna develop some skills and some gifts that God's gonna use them, and then they're gonna deploy those gifts. They're gonna be an army. I said, how many believe God could put these bones and put some skin on it and some muscle and raise up an army? Anybody? So I think for too long, churches have lowered the value of children, especially even in the Assemblies of God. We don't elevate children's ministry. I'll tell you the number one reason, if I can be frank. Would you mind, Pastor, to be frank and honest? Children don't bring any money. That's the main reason. You get pennies and nickels from the children's church. It doesn't add any value to the leader of the church. And God help us. How many know if you don't invest in them, you won't have a church to talk to or to leave behind to. So we're aggressive, we're intentional, we're purposeful, and I'm glad that there is a legacy. Today I'm telling you about the legacy of Jonadab, a man of God who helped Jehu. Did you know later on Jehu, he did well at first, but then you can read about it. I hate to even talk about it. There's a lot of Jehus that start off, that sounds pretty good, Jehu. Jehu. It sounds like we call people Jehu. He's a Jehu. That might be where that came from. Started off well, but he fell. And I'm telling you as a pastor, okay? People can start off strong and do great exploits for God, but how many know we need to finish strong? We need to tell a generation. Tell your kids. Tell your kids how you got saved. Maybe how you used to run around and be a clown or whatever, but then Jesus got a hold of your heart. You got to tell them that. Tell them, not only tell them, but show them how to pray. Don't drop them off for church. Bring them to church. Let them sit with you. Let them, and then don't tell them, go praise God, go praise God. No, show them how to praise God. Show them how to go to Sunday school. Show them how to give. Show them how to work. Show them how to love. That's why last week was so powerful. We take children on mission trips. And I've heard lots of pastors tell me, Brother Ron, isn't that kind of a liability? No, I say it's an asset. You call it what you want. I call those things that are not as though they are. And some of our leaders today are calling this generation a waste. I'm calling them an asset. I mean, God can get a hold of these kids and teenagers, just like he got a hold of you. Did you know, in case you forgot, you was a rascal too? Somebody prayed for you, had patience with you. I often think, David, that Pastor Ron, if he'd got picked up on the bus, I don't know if you know David Boyd's story, but Arnold Roth picked up David Boyd in the Dakotas when he was a boy on the bus. And here in this church, you talk about legacy, the van driver and the boy are in the house of the Lord together for many, many years. How's that possible? Whew, I feel like preaching. So I'm first generation, and this world will not mold my family. God will. The scriptures are filled with people with character, role models, and we find some that are not so great. But David, the sensitive poet, described as a man after God's own heart. He was a good king, an unbelievable military leader, but he wasn't the best father. So we all have weaknesses. We all have areas that we can be strengthened in. But how about Abraham? Wow, a friend of God, father of a nation, leaves us with all kinds of lessons of what it means to be a man of faith, him and Sarah. Others like Isaac and Jacob had mixed success as fathers. But the Bible says that Isaac being a second generation, Abraham was first generation of promise. Isaac was a second generation, the generation of inheritance. And he went along, but he didn't do well. But then he had enough sense to go back and redig the wells of his father. How many know we need, if we haven't done well, we need to go back and redig the wells of our forefathers. We need to keep this thing alive. It's only going to be passed on from generation to generation. And then Jacob, he's the third generation, a generation I think we're living in today, the generation of deception. I know Satan is trying to deceive and take this generation. You know why? Because this generation is closer to the end than the first two generations. And if he could take us out now, how many know Satan's in no hurry? He don't care what generation he wipes out. He wants it to be destroyed. But if we as a church have to keep the generations moving, preach it, Brother Ron. I'm trying. We got to keep it alive. We can see Ezekiel had a whole bunch of a graveyard full of dead bones. But God said, hey, I want you, man of God, prophesy to these dead bones that they might live. How many know some of us today need to get a deep breath of the Holy Spirit and breathe on this next generation? Speak life into them. If you call it life, life will come. If you call it death, death will come. It's what you call it. But I've decided I'm going to call it life. And so others were obedient to God in their own time, but failed to pass their faith on to their families in the next generation. If Jesus should tarry, who's going to influence your family? Jonadab. Wow. We've forgotten him because he's so small. But 2 Kings, he helped Jehu, the 11th king of Israel, made alliance together to destroy the followers of Baal. And King Jehu, he knew Jonadab was zealous for God, influential on his family. And so he anointed Jehu to be king. Elijah did. Remember that? And took care of Ahab, and partnered with Jonadab, and they wiped out, eradicated Baal worship. Wouldn't it be awesome? Come on, Oak Grove. Wouldn't it be awesome if just one church was able to stand up and eradicate sin in a city? Wouldn't it be awesome if we stood up and said, we are not going to be the generation to lose the power of Pentecost? What if we really believed it and spoke it? Raise up a generation. Too many people kicking them. Together, I think we can join together and complete the elimination of Baal worship. That's, you say, Pastor, that's impossible. Well, it was wiped out in Israel. The temple of Baal was torn down and made into a garbage dump. I pray in Jesus' name, every barroom, every saloon, every wicked place would be torn down, made into a garbage dump. May every place there's a barroom in the city, may it become a church for the glory of God. Not a pseudo church. Some churches just soon kept the barroom. Oh, y'all done put me tired in the pulpit. Dangerous. Jonadab, he set standards to preserve his family both physically and spiritually. And some of these guidelines seem unreasonable. This is not an abolition to wine. It's what that was. It was obedience to the Father. Are y'all hearing me? He said, no, you will not drink wine. You will not print. You know, there's nothing wrong with planting vineyards. There's nothing wrong with all that. He just said, you won't do it because you're getting too comfortable with the world. I don't want you getting involved with the culture because the culture will get involved with you. So Jonadab said, I'm taking my kids and grandkids and my legacy. I'm bringing them over here. I'm setting a higher standard because I want to train my children. I don't want my culture to train my children. The DNA of the Moran family, the DNA of the Oak Grove family is going to be a DNA of the Holy Ghost. We're not going to let the culture shape us. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? You just leave them. If you don't talk to your kids in the next generation, somebody will. Somebody's going to raise them up. Somebody's going to stroke them. Somebody's going to tell them that they should come this way. Somebody's going to play the pipe, the Pied Piper. And a generation that doesn't know better, biblically illiterate, will just follow whatever wind that comes along. I mean, no, the church needs to be strong and courageous. Come on now, the church needs to be strong and courageous. He took measures that would permanently set them apart. They were to live differently than those around them. They were to maintain moral purity. Jonadab said he didn't want them to get too comfortable in a dangerous place. How did he know? Because the prophets of God told him. How many know the Word of God can tell you where the culture's heading? But the Word of God tells us to stand up in faith and call those things that are not as though they are. We're going to call our children out. You know, God called and grabbed Moses out of the river. Come on now. His name is Moses, means called out, took him out of the Nile, took him out of the dangerous situation, and put him in the hands of God. Jochebed didn't know, but she placed her baby in the hands of the Lord. It seemed as though crocodiles were, we had crocodiles this past week, just had shorter noses. They were alligators. Maybe you saw it on Facebook. You will see it. And we slapped it on the nose and made it get mad and showed it to our children. Legacy! Raising up alligator hunters. He took measures to make sure that the culture didn't affect his family. Most people today would say it was old-fashioned, behind the times. In reality, he was ahead of the time. He was preparing his family for the tragedy that was coming to Israel in just a few short years. And many other families didn't survive. Why? Because they had been living the good life. Eat, drink, and be merry. Live it up in the land. Jonadab said, not my family. We have standards. You know what? Don't diss this purity that he's talking about. Even if it comes across as old-fashioned, how many know you can call me old-fashioned, but at the end of the day, I want my family to cross the finish line with me. You don't know until you lose a child or you lose a grandchild to the world. You don't know the effects of the pain. And I speak with parents all the time. He was preparing his family. Jonadab's family survived the pagan invasion. After a murderous invasion, they listened to their father, heeded the warning. And he knew it because he believed the words of the prophets. They were speaking life. Several prophets had predicted the destruction of Israel. Elijah had predicted it. Complete destruction of the family of Ahab and Jezebel. And maybe Jonadab was a little boy on Mount Carmel. Hey, what they see when they're little, they will be when they're bigger. One of the highlights, Ellie was dancing all over, you know, the place where we were. And Brother Marty said, what are you doing? She said, I'm dancing. Ever since I was little, I was a cheerleader. She's only 4 years old. Can you imagine? Brother Marty was like, I can't believe it. Ever since she was little. Look out, world. God's raising up a little girl with power, not ashamed, not afraid, not intimidated. She's going to be a powerhouse for the Lord. And if you'll speak that, how many know she'll become that? Maybe he saw the fire fall from heaven when Elijah prayed. He witnessed the prophets of Baal fall on their faces and cry, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Wouldn't it be awesome if we witnessed our leadership in our city, in our nation, crying out, the Lord, he is God. Wouldn't that be a miracle in America? Seeing little bits and tastes, but I believe God's going to send a revival to our nation. We would only need to see a miracle like that once to know that Baal was defeated. And Elijah, who prophesied that Jehu would be king, Jehu became king. Somehow, Jonadab instilled a respect for his family in his heart. His family respected men of God, the word of God. Even after his death, he left a continuing legacy of respect. While other dads were allowing their families to worship Baal and God at the same time. I'm sorry, Oak Grove. Listen to me clearly. I'm not that tired. I got my brain. My body might be tired, but my spirit's not. I'm not raising up a generation who has half Jesus and half the world. I don't want to raise up a generation that has half the Bible and half the Quran. They don't know what to believe. I mean, no, we are all with God, all the way. Well, Pastor, you need to let them be open-minded. No, we need to let them be who God created them to be. It's a confused world out there. Parents are letting it be, but not on our watch. Can you say amen, Oak Grove? Jonadab remained zealous, faithful to the one true God when everybody else had accepted that Baal worship was a necessary evil. And Jonadab said, not in my watch. I think idol worship is still ungodly. We don't have Baal. We don't have big statues running around. But how many know there's a whole lot of idolatry going on in the house of the Lord? People are just putting everything before God. Here's the major point. Jonadab remembered Joshua's powerful declaration. As for me and my house. He heard it from somewhere. I said he heard it from somewhere. We will serve the Lord when he agreed to risk his life, taking a stand against the worshipers of Baal. He centered his family life around God's word, and none of this world have made any difference if he had not been consistent in his private life. Mom and dad, listen. Grandma and grandpa, you can go to church every week, five times a week. But if you go home and live a life that's separate, different, then you're clapping your hands and raising your hands at church. How many know it's empty? The kids see right through it. I said they see right through it. And you can be church halfway like Samson. Samson felt the power of God. He shook himself. He broke it loose. And then one day, Mark, he broke loose and he realized that the Spirit had already left him. I mean, no, we can't let that happen to this generation. They can go through the same mechanical worship week after week and have no power. I'm glad at Oak Grove, God still visits our house. I'm glad he's welcome here. Is anybody thankful that the Holy Spirit still occupies the throne of this house? And so, our dads, our families notice our inconsistencies and sense our secret sins. Our kids are looking for faith, faithfulness, greatness, integrity, strength of character, moral purity. And we learn by example, not by decree. You don't just say it. This is Missouri. Come on, this is Missouri. It's a show me state. Show me, live it. And you can't leave a legacy that you never lived. And so, this is so awesome. After 2 Kings chapter 15, it's almost 300 years after Jonadab's death, before his name is mentioned again. Judah is in great turmoil. Idolatry is everywhere. Jerusalem is about to be captured, destroyed, and plundered by the Babylonians. Thousands of Israelites are about to endure the humiliation of captivity in Babylon. Shouldn't be there. But because of disobedience, that's where they are. Prophet Jeremiah had been pleading with Judah for 40 years to turn their sin and unbelief. And when suddenly in the middle of all this chaos, God spoke to Jeremiah and said, go find the descendants of Jonadab. Go find them. Bring them to the house of the Lord in the chambers and set before them big bowls of wine and tell them, drink this wine. And the spokesperson, I mean, oh, dad, you ought to be the leader of your home. Come on. You ought to speak up for your family. Mom, you ought to speak up for your family. If you're the leader of your home, if you're the grandparents, speak up for the children. Speak up for the next generation. And they said, we will not drink your wine. So why not? It's because our forefather, Jonadab, told us 200-300 years ago that we were commanded not to. Not only not drink wine, but to build this. We're not to get comfortable with this world. We are different from this world. We are God's people. We have a higher standard. We're walking by faith. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. How powerful is that? Yeah, it is. And so they gathered and they said, no, we will not. Our ancestor, Jonadab, son of Rechab, gave us this command. You and your descendants must never drink wine and do not build houses and plant crops and vineyards, but always live in tents. And if you follow these commandments, here it is, always a condition. If you'll follow these commands, you will live long, good lives in the land. So we have obeyed him in all these things, and we have never had a drink of wine to this day, nor have our wives, nor have our sons, nor have our daughters. We haven't built houses. We don't own vineyards or farms and planted crops. We have lived in tents and have fully obeyed all the commands of our forefather. Almost 300 years after his death, Jonadab's children were still benefiting from his wisdom. He left a legacy. Somebody shout legacy. He left a legacy. And that's what we're asking you to do. The obedience of six generations was based upon one man's faithfulness. So how many here are second, third generation Christian? Let me see your hands. Second, third generation, your parents, your grandparents. Look at that. Look at that. All right, put your hands down. How many are first generation Christian? You started this process. Let me see your hand. You're the first one got saved in your family. One, two, three, four. Well, listen to me. Whether you started this or whether you kept it going, how many know we got to keep it going? We got to continue the legacy God has trusted us with. Paul told Timothy, hey, I saw what God has done in your life. I see your faith, Paul. Tell Timothy. I see your faith, Timothy. And it's the same thing that I saw in your grandmother, Lois, and your mama, Eunice. And it's in you. I mean, no, it's the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead that dwells inside of you. And if you keep the faith, pass it on to your kids. When you die and go on, you'll have something to leave your kids besides money. Money is going to be helpful, but it's not going to be the most important thing. Legacy. Leave them Jesus. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah and rewarded the faithfulness of it, obedience of Jonadab, his descendants. And this is what he said. And I'll quit. Chrissy, you can come back and give them some hope. Jonadab, the son of Rechab, shall not lack. This just moves me. I don't know if this is doing anything for you today, but it's moving me. He shall not lack a man to stand before me forever. You know what that means? I know it's an Old Testament text. Maybe you don't understand all of it, but it means that today, somewhere in this world, there's a descendant of Jonadab thousands of years later. Because the word of the Lord never lies. How many know God's word did never return void? Somewhere in the world, a descendant of Jonadab still survives and serves the Lord. More valuable than power, fame, and wealth, and health, and comfort, looks, intelligence. Many of the things I have passed on my vocal gifting to Tori and Chrissy. And my looks. Money they're starting to struggle to come up with. No, I didn't really have much to leave them, but I left them Jesus. I give them Jesus.